Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today we have Christy Given, a very talented singer-songwriter, discussing her new book, Daughter of the King. And we'll be right back. First, let's check our lines here. We had a little technical issues at Blog Talk Radio lately. Christy is on line one. Can you hear me, Christy?
Yes.
Great, I got you. Okay, I fixed some technical problems. I hear you. Woo-hoo. We'll be right back with you, Christy, in 20 seconds. Okay. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. We have a very talented singer-songwriter on the show today, and she's written a great book, and she's written some amazing music. This is just a sample of her video. You can see this on YouTube, Christy Given the Other Side. Multi-talented Christy Given, and she's come out with a new book. It is available on Amazon, and she also has a website, which is Christy Given, ChristiGiven.com. So I think our technical glitches are solved. Christy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm really elated to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor.
Well, you are a daughter of the king, aren't you?
Yes, I am so blessed and so grateful. God is just amazing. He has just done so many mighty miracles in my life, and I'm just so grateful to be able to share God's glory and his miracles today on your show.
Well, we're grateful to have you here as a daughter of the king. And I know about half our listeners understand that Christian concept. This show started on the Salem Broadcasting 101.5 FM as a Christian show where a lot of people understand that concept of we're children of God. But the show a few years ago kind of morphed into a broader audience, a lot of Hollywood people, a lot of people that aren't church people listen. I have a lot of celebrity guests, so a lot of people might not understand. What do you mean a daughter of the king? That might sound foreign to them. How did you come up with that title or that idea? Like, what inspired you to make that the theme of your new book on Amazon?
Sure. So basically what I talk about is how to find your true royal identity and purpose. And what I mean by that is that according to biblical scripture, when you become a believer in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and you accept the Holy Spirit, you're adopted into God's family. And, you know, you become an heir. You become somebody who is in authority, just the same way someone who is born into a royal family would become an heir or an heiress. Just like, for example, someone like Paris Hilton, you know, she is an heiress to the Hilton, you know, hotels.
That's
so she's
a great
an heiress.
Example.
And I want people to understand that the believers in the earth right now, it says that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, their sons and daughters will prophesy. They will dream dreams and see visions. And, you know, I've met you through the House of Prayer International Radiance on Sunset in Hollywood. And you know, we can testify that we have seen God's glory. We have seen the gift operate, how people are operating through the power of God, through visions and dreams and words. And so that's because, you know, we have accepted the free gift of salvation, which is available for everybody. The Bible says that, you know, salvation is likened unto, if you want to use a metaphor or simile, it is likened unto a wedding feast where we all get an invitation, and it is up to us if we say yes or we say no. But why would we say no? It wouldn't even make sense why you would say no. And so I just wanted to encourage the listener that, you know, the Bible talks about that the gift of salvation is free. When someone gives you a gift, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to, like, you know, try to give it back. You just receive it. And so if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just need to say a simple prayer and call upon the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. And that is how you become a daughter of the King or son of the King. And we're all children of God. We're created in the image of God. And before we were born, God created us, you know, in our mother's womb, before we were even conceived, he knew who we were. And it's just like beyond what we could even fathom or imagine, you know. And I always go back to the miracle of childbirth when people go, well, I don't really believe in God, or I don't really know if I believe in religion. Well, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And the thing is that God is so creative. He created Hollywood. He created, you know, the royal family. He created all these, you know, all different, like, cultures and languages. And I mean, if you think about time zones and different parts of the world, and, you know, that we live in a universe, in a galaxy, I mean, I can go on and on. It says creation testifies and shouts of his glory. And so the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. And so it's, you know, it's very evident that there is a creator. And I know that some people, they don't know how to wrap their minds around that. And that's okay. Basically, the book is just geared towards young adults or young women that maybe don't know their identity. They don't know that they're a princess. They don't know they're a queen. So that's
wonderful,
because
I know my daughter's getting married tomorrow. And she loved the Disney princesses. And when we met, we had a kinship and joke that you're like my second daughter. So, you know, this whole daughter thing is so precious. And I remember I used to take my daughter a lot to museums and exhibits. And there was a famous graffiti artist, Christy, named Basquiat. He was with the famous artist Andy Warhol. But he was a black artist. And he all his paintings would have little crowns in them. And you're making me think about this. And I was in the Warhol circles. I grew up in Pittsburgh and was taught by an artist who had mentored him. And so I knew some of the people. And we were talking about the crown, and I did more research on it. And this artist always put the crown in the painting, even of a janitor or a boxer or whatever station of life, the crown. Because when he was a little boy, his spirit-filled mother said, never forget you have the crown, because it's something internal, you know, inside us, and you have that, and I feel that from you, that light of Christ inside you. So it's not, yes, you're a talented singer, yes, you're pretty, yes, you have this following of young girls, yes, you have all these gifts, but it's not like a guy that makes you be the princess. It's not a hit record that makes you, those are all like icing on the cake. But she told Basquiat to always remember the crown, because it's something inside you, you know. Like when David said he'll pray over him and anoint him at 16 that he would be the king, even though King Saul chased him down and challenged him, deep down he knew, even though it took maybe 14 years later before it was all manifested in the external, he knew internally he was the king, you know. And I like how your book's going to help young women, and, well, women of all ages to know, and people of all ages, men, I think you need this message too. You're a son of the king. It's something inside us, isn't it? The Holy Spirit does.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's in our DNA. I mean, God created us. It says we are created in the image of God. And so, you know, it says eternity is set in the hearts of men. And that's why, you know, people want to be immortal. And that's why we've got movies in Hollywood that are actually sometimes reflective of what we're created to be, as you mentioned. I mean, I definitely agree that the book can be, you know, it can be for women, but men can, you know, order the book to give it as a gift to their sister or their mother or their cousin.
Yes.
Or, you know, and it's also filled with scripture. And I do talk about the Queen Esther anointing, and Esther is a biblical figure. Yeah. And she was a Jewish woman who was an orphan, and Esther was chosen amongst hundreds and hundreds of women. And she, you know, she replaced Queen Vashti, and
yes.
she married King Xerxes, and she was chosen, and she had favor with him, but she loved the Lord and she loved her people. And there was an enemy named Haman in the Bible. You can read about it in the book of Esther. And it's actually pretty cool because God is just so powerful. He does beyond what you could ever ask, dream, think, or imagine. But I remember always looking up to Queen Esther and saying, God, I wish I could be like a Queen Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it funny, and just like the Lord, that actress Jen Lilly, and for those of you that maybe aren't into Bible stories or you're not familiar, there is a movie called The Book of Esther, and it was released
mm-hmm.
by PureFlix. And actress Jen Lilly from the Hallmark Channel played Queen Esther, and she actually contributed a quote to endorse my book. So it's just like
that.
The Lord.
That was a great quote. Yes.
Yeah, and what's neat about Esther is that I thought that her cousin Mordecai was really her uncle, but he was a father figure in her life that raised her. And he warned Esther that she needed to speak up for the people, and
mm-hmm.
she needed to use her voice for such a time as this. And he said, well, maybe you were born for such a time as this. And if you
yes.
don't speak up, maybe someone else will. And I do think that that's somewhat of a an interesting timing in the release of my book, as I have been working on it for about 2 years, and I got an editor within the last few months, and we were really working hard on finalizing everything, and you know, I established the publisher and whatnot. But what's interesting is just the story of Esther, and how, you know, like right now there's so many political issues happening, and how people want to use their voice. And I kind of want to start a hashtag, All Voices Matter, Unborn Lives Matter, you know, Child Lives Matter is now coming out. Baby Lives Matter was painted in front of Planned Parenthood. So, you know, the timing of the release of this book and how Esther is a voice, and then, as you know, paralleling me being a singer, and I do share the gospel on radio and television. And so I really do feel like an Esther in the earth, and I really relate to Esther. And I know that the girls that read this book will be very interested. And like I said, it's in our DNA. It's not a coincidence that, you know, Walt Disney got these downloads of these storylines between the battle of good and evil. And little boys, I'm not saying every single one, but most little boys love warriors or fighters, you know, or heroes, superheroes. And most little girls love princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a fairy tale. It's actually like we are royal daughters of the king. We are, our father is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are the true ecclesia and the true government in the earth. And we have authority to pray and move mountains. We have authority to change government. We have authority to change laws. We have authority to, you know, it says if my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will come and heal their land. And that's in First Chronicles. And it's like, that is so powerful that, you know, God says, let us make man in our image, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our image, plural. And he wanted Adam in the garden to have authority over the animals. He wanted him to have authority over and take dominion of the earth. And we are the only species that actually can take authority over the earth. There's no other creature that is as powerful as a human being. And so God is, in a way, we're kind of a reflection of him. And that's why Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is a reflection of the Father. That's why Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so we don't say that we're daughters of the king in an arrogant way. We don't say we're sons of the king in an arrogant way. We're saying it because there is an identity crisis in our generation, and people are lost and they're confused. They put their identity in their ailment. You know, some people put their identity
yeah.
in a physical ailment, or maybe in transgender, or some people put their identity in being homosexual. There's just so many different confusions in our generation, and I want to help people. It's my responsibility as a voice in Hollywood to say, no, you're a daughter of the king. You don't have to wear, you know, lingerie on social media to get attention. You don't have to compromise your morals. You don't have to take that acting role where you just don't feel comfortable. You don't have to be desperate, because God will provide for you. God is your father, and he
yes.
will protect you. And you wear a crown.
Yes, yes. And on so many of these folks, they look to something outside themselves. How do I look in this outfit? What's my IMDb ranking as an actor? What awards have I won? How many has my song sold? And one of our friends and best friends and supporters who won the Teacher of the Year, Kelly Tabor, whenever one of the kids will ask her in her class, does this dress make me look good? She will always correct it and say, no, you make the dress look good. It's you. It's not the external of the dress. Or as Mr. Rogers would say, it's you I like. So when we have that inside identity, as you say, Christy, we don't have to look to the outside. And a lot of our Jewish
yeah.
listeners out there, this story that Christy's sharing is from the Old Testament, and Esther stood up to save the Jews in the gallows that they made to hang her and Mordecai. I think it was Haman ended up hanging on the same gallows. So when we stand up for what's right, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. He'll defend us, won't he?
Yes, and just to finish the little part about Esther, you know, her identity was in the Lord, and she didn't, I guess her husband, the king, wasn't aware of her ethnicity or her culture. I mean, I remember that in the Bible where she was kind of undercover. And it's so funny because I feel like I'm an undercover believer in Hollywood. You know, sometimes people know I'm a believer, and sometimes people don't know all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to minister on set. I used to be on the OC, Las Vegas. I've been on different shows. I was in Nancy Drew as an extra. I was a stand-in for the movie Pulse with Kristen Bell. So I've done a lot of stuff in Hollywood. And then, you know, as you know, I merged into Christian television. But now I'm writing 300-plus songs for A&E, Bravo, Lifetime. So my voice is now going over the secular airwaves. But I say all this to say, because many of your listeners may not be familiar with the rest of the story. So, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there's always been this kind of force of evil that's come against the Jewish people. And so, and now it's between the Jewish and the Christians. There's a form of persecution. But, you know, Esther, she was very bold. And, you know, she was wise. She didn't just rashly go up to the king and demand, but she fasted for 3 days, and then she set up a feast. And once her cousin Mordecai warned her about the attack of the Jews that Haman was plotting against her people, she had to speak up to the king. And so, you know, he set out his, you know, table for her, and they had a feast, and she knew when to speak. She was wise. And also, I think there's wisdom in that, even in our timing of our culture, political unrest, racial division, and different things. Like, there is a time to speak. And, you know, I just believe that, you know, it's so encouraging. Like, sometimes people don't want to say something because they don't want to be politically incorrect. And, like, for right now, I believe God wants the church to start speaking more about abortion and the blood that's been shed, you know, in our culture. And, you know, it's kind of controversial, but what Esther said, and I love this, is she said, if I perish, I perish, you know, but I'm going to speak up for my people. And the king says, you know, what is it that you desire? I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And he honored her request. And Haman, you know, was moved out of the way, and Queen Esther ended up saving her people. And I believe that she was also in the bloodline of Christ. And so that's why there was also a threat against that. And I know that when Moses was born, they wanted to kill the Hebrew boys. I know that when Christ was born, you know, there was a decree sent out to go find, you know, the wise men and go find where the Messiah was. And so we aren't surprised by the warfare and opposition. And I talk about that in the book. Once you know your identity and purpose, you are automatically going to have opposition. And I teach you through biblical scriptures, that you can overcome, and we wear the victor's crown. We don't fight desperately for victory. We're fighting from victory. And so you can't really know who you are unless you know who you belong to. And like I said, if you, you know, if you inherited millions of dollars and your father, you know, gave you a bank account and you never tapped into it, that would be pointless. That would be useless. But once you tap into your royal inheritance, there is treasure and it will bless your life. And so, you know, there is there's some keys, there's some tools that I give in the book. And I also wanted to just congratulate your daughter on her wedding. I think that's absolutely beautiful. Yes, and I do relate. I relate with her as a sister, you know, and seeing that you are a father, your spiritual father, and you're an amazing, you know, family man and husband and father. And I just think that it's just like the reason you have good fruit is because you know your identity and you operate in that. And that's why your life is fruitful. So I'm so honored to be here today.
Well, we're honored to have you, and that's so sweet of you. And we'll be right back. If you have any questions for Christy or want to, you can email them to richardrossilive@gmail.com, or you can call in your questions, comments to the guest call on line 347-637-2379. Christy Given, very powerful. You've heard her voice singing many TV themes, and she's sold over 300 songs to a lot of the major shows. Very talented, very anointed. Pray for her because she is on the front lines, and all of you that are intercessors and prayer warriors, keep praying Psalm 91 over Christy. We'll be right back with Christy and some questions from you. Here's Christy singing one of her biggest hits. Love that song and that video. You can see that on YouTube, Christy Given, The Other Side. It's on YouTube. And if you want to go to Christy's website, see more and more of her stuff, it's Christy Given, C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Given, G-I-V-E-N.com. And she has given a lot to us already as we listen. Daniel Cohen emailing in a question about the Book of Esther, or a comment perhaps, says that the book always struck him as a bit worldly in that she... The king would spend the night with the different beautiful women and pick one, and that doesn't seem like a super godly way to get the woman. And he said the book is one of the only biblical books that doesn't mention the word God. I know you're right about that, Daniel. Esther doesn't say the word God per se, but in that way it's kind of an appealing universal story where we see God's hand and destiny and his will, what happens there in saving the genocide of the Jewish people. As for the beauty contest thing, yeah, that's a pretty worldly thing. I would agree with you on that. But that's the world that Christy and I, working in Hollywood, find ourselves in, and yet we have to hold to our ethics and our morals and our boundaries, don't we, Christy?
Amen to that. And, you know, yeah, I guess you can liken the story of Esther to a Miss USA competition, which beauty queen would be crowned. And interestingly enough, just a segue, it's actually a perfect segue, Miss USA, Kristen Dalton Wolf, actually endorsed the book as well. She was crowned Miss USA in 2009. And the thing about being a Christian is we're in the world, we're not of the world.
Right.
Everything in the Bible is, it doesn't mean we agree with it. I mean, even the story of David, you know, he looked after the woman Bathsheba, and we don't excuse sin. I mean, there's consequences to sin, and I talk about that. I talk about modesty. I talk about when you're a queen, you don't dress like everyone else. Modest is hottest. You don't have to try to fit in when you're a queen and you know who you are. You know,
did you say
and
modest
God wants
is hottest? Did I hear that right, Christy?
Yes, modest is the hottest. I used to say that.
Clever. Oh,
yeah.
Man,
you
that's
know,
a good one for all the young girls that look up to you. Modest
yeah,
is hottest.
Because the other thing is, like, I didn't have to write this book. I could have had this ideology, you know, of being a daughter of the king. But God started downloading chapter by chapter to me. And as you know, I used to write for almost 10 years. I wrote for Project Inspired. You can go to projectinspired.com.
Yeah.
And my best friend, Nicole Weider, you know, her testimony is so radical. You know, she used to be a secular model and she was a stand-in and did some work for Maxim and Victoria's Secret. And I prayed for her and I encouraged her. And I was like, you're beautiful. You don't need to do that. Like, only your husband should see you that way. And, you know, and she turned from that lifestyle and God changed her heart. And she married the son of the founder, the Weiders. You know, Weider Bodybuilding Fitness, you know, she married the son, Eric Weider, whose father is Ben, and his, I believe his uncle is Joe Weider. And so they founded bodybuilding. And, you know, God did miracles in her life. I saw God totally turn her life around, and now she has two children. And me and Nicole are like, you know, we used to joke because we used to go out in Hollywood and we used to see celebrities like Paris Hilton and all that. And I wanted to be the singer and she wanted to be the model. So we were like partners in crime, you know, and we made a joke later. We're like, we're partners in Hollywood now. And as you know, I have the network, HollywoodNetwork.com. So I worked for Nicole about 9 years and I wrote about 12 articles a month about modesty, fashion, purity. I talk about bullying. I talk about, you know, the next generation. And it's like, I didn't have to write this book, but I wanted to speak up for the younger girls because they do need a role model. They do need someone to look up to. It doesn't mean Nicole or I were perfect, you know, but God changed her life. And now she is a role model. And I told her, you know, you're like a model for Christ. And, you know, God can take a Saul who was murdering Christians and turn them into a Paul. God can take Rahab and, you know, she was a prostitute and she hid the spies. God can use a donkey. God can use whatever he wants to get his glory. So God's not limited. And, you know, the modern story of what this man is talking about is it reminds me of The Bachelor. A lot of people, they love the show The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. But then some people, they don't really agree with it because it's kind of like, you know, he's speed dating, you know, all these women. You know, and it's an interesting concept of, you know, gathering single people and kind of, you know, it kind of, I don't know, back then they used to do arranged marriages. I mean, there's a lot of things. We could go on and on about controversy.
Yeah.
We could talk about, you know, like biblical scriptures and but you have to understand the context of what you're reading. People can take scripture out of.
So true, Christy. Oh, by the way, a question is just popping up, Christy, about your Project Inspired articles, how to find them. You can go, folks, to projectinspired.com/author/ Christina Given, or just Google Project Inspired Christina Given, and you'll see Christy pop up. I just wanted to, what a bunch of great articles there that Christy has there, a bunch of them. By the way, I just want to add on the whole point of David and Bathsheba that Christy mentioned and son Rahab, some of these. If you go to the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1, any of you listeners, now this is a chapter that people literally considered irrelevant and they cut out of the Bibles. They did a Reader's Digest Bible, condensed Bible, cut it out. Oh, it's just boring. You know, Jesse begat David and David begat Solomon. But all these incidents that would be judged sin or judged failures are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 1 that David in Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah, had Solomon, and Solomon was in the line of Christ. Rahab, who Christy mentioned, a prostitute, was in the line of Christ. Tamar, also a prostitute in the line of Christ. So Matthew 1, this genealogy is not irrelevant. It shows that God was working even through the people that others would say, oh, they messed up, they did something wrong, but yet God allowed his lineage of his son, the son of God, God the Son, to come through. So, you know, things that happen that other people would judge, even in this Esther story, God is working through these things. He's been working through us all, and we're all fallible and messed up, and we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But even these situations that Christy mentioned are in Matthew 1 in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So those of you that feel like, oh, God doesn't love me, or I messed up, or, you know, I'm not doing everything perfect or right, that doesn't change your identity, and that doesn't change the fact that nothing can separate you from his love as Christy sings in the song.
Yes.
So, Christy, your book is available on Amazon. Is that the best place you tell people where to get it?
Yes. So we have two versions of the book. The first version that I released, it actually was officially launched on the Kindle app August 1st, which was just this past Saturday. So it's hot off the press. You're one of the first interviews I've done. I did do one other television interview about the book, but I wanted to say thank you again for, you know, just endorsing and supporting me in the book. I just have one more comment about being a daughter, just because I think it's important for the listener. Just as you mentioned, some people, they feel really burdened by religion. Like, I don't think I can accept God or Jesus as Lord because I don't think I can change my life around. Well, number one, you can't change your life around. It's only by the grace and mercy of God, and it's a free gift. And it's like, imagine if I was Richard's daughter and, you know, I was a teenager and messed up and did something. That wouldn't not make me his daughter, you know? Or like, let's say his literal daughter. Let's say your daughter messed up and she did something or she didn't come home on time. You wouldn't say, well, you're not my daughter now. No, she's still your daughter. That does not change. Yeah. And so that does not change. So your identity as a son or daughter, if you look at the story of the prodigal son, you know, there was the son that stayed at home and he worked the fields and he was loyal to the father. And then there was the rebellious son that squandered the inheritance and he ended up in the pig pen. And the father, when the son returned home to the father, he embraced him with the ring and a robe. Doesn't mean we excuse sin. There's consequences to sin. Like, David did not get to build the temple because of his actions towards Bathsheba, and he even lost a child and all those things. So I'm not saying that God doesn't, but God still can use your destiny. He can turn it all around. It says, his mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And the Lord, you know, wants to crown you with a new heart, a new mind, a new life, and he wants to give you hope. And we're living in tumultuous times right now, uncertainties, but you can guaranteed, you know, bank on God's word. Number one is covenant. It's like a marriage covenant cannot be broken. It's a vow to you. His word is a love letter to you. It's not a book of rules. You know, just like a good father, you know, gives his child boundaries, like don't run in the street, you might get hit by a car. Why do we have laws? I mean, I could say it's not fun to stop at red lights. Well, if you don't stop at red lights, we'd have a lot more accidents. So there are laws and there are rules in place for our protection and for our love and for our safety. It's not that God's not a fun God or he doesn't want to celebrate you, but God, you know, in the word, it says, don't let anyone steal your crown. And I think sometimes we can get so distracted and caught up into controversy or it says, you know, even avoid quarreling, avoid foolish controversies, or into just tap into your true royal identity and purpose. And once you know your identity, then you're going to know your calling and mission on the earth. Once you know the good news and you've received the gospel and you accept that free gift of salvation, then you can go out into the world and be co-heirs and go into a co-mission with Christ. And it is the most fulfilling, rewarding thing you can do, is helping other people have a voice. Like, I love helping artists and other, you know, people on my podcast and my radio show as well. And I just love helping people. I love seeing their dreams come to pass. And it's like, when you become a servant, you know, I really believe in servant leadership. Even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that. You know, he said that if you want to be great, become a servant. And even Christ, he came in the form of a baby, and he was unknown. But God's ways are higher. He does the opposite of the world. He says the first will be last, the last will be first. And it's like, look at Queen Esther. She was an orphan. She was undercover for the Lord, and she spared her people. And so, you know, God can give you the favor. God can give you the crown. God can give you the promotion. God can raise you up in this hour for justice and righteousness. And I truly believe that out of all times that we need to raise our voice, we need to use our voice for truth. And just know that God loves you. And I really hope and pray that this book helps you. And ultimately, and one of the final chapters titles is Aiming for the Eternal Crown. If you could get anything out of the book, it's about building a relationship with the Lord. And that is through prayer, reading the word, getting into a Bible-believing church, and having a community of fellowship. So I don't know if you want me to pray for anybody, I'd be willing to. But thank you again, Richard, for having me on.
Oh, you're most welcome, Christy. Yeah, and before we end, I would like you to do that. And I want to share with you listening, those of you that are, you know, you young princesses, you're growing into a queen. You're growing from a princess into a queen. Here's a quote from Miss USA, Kristen Dalton. My life was absolutely changed when I realized I was a daughter of the king. No accomplishment, even as great as Miss USA, completes me. But finding who I am in Christ started my entire ministry, my true confidence and contentment. I know you'll find that through Christie's book. Also, this is from a quote coming in from Jen Lilly. She played Esther in a film about the life of Esther on PureFlix. PureFlix are nice people. They stream my film about Roberto Clemente, Baseball's Last Hero. She says, Queen Esther highlights that we are created for such a time as this. And I can attest that what Christie said was accurate about the daughter, too, because I won't go into details, but when my daughter messed up and the other parents were yelling at the other kids, she said, go ahead and yell at me, Dad. I said, I'm not going to yell at you because you are a daughter of the king. You're a child of God, Karis. And I said, what you did wasn't worthy of you as a child of God, but it doesn't make you bad. What you did, might have done wasn't good, but you are good. You're a daughter of the king. So, yes, Christy, why don't you close us out in prayer? And just a reminder, ChristyGiven.com is our website. The book is called Daughter of the King. And why don't you, any final words, or why don't you pray for anyone out there listening who needs to be reminded, as the great teacher Kelly says, you make the dress look good. The dress doesn't make you look good. You are the beautiful, fearfully, wonderfully made daughter and son of the King of Kings. So would you pray for everyone out there, Christy? We have an audience of probably about 45% people know me from my Christian work, and about the other 55% are not in that sub-Christian subculture. They're Hollywood-type people. But would you just pray for everybody that's listening, Christy?
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to invite you, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'll say a short prayer. Just pray it in your heart and, you know, if you want to say it out loud, you can. But just
say
it out dear
loud
Jesus.
With you, Christy, to help. I'll say it out loud to help anybody that would like to do that.
Okay. So just say, dear God.
Dear God.
I believe that you sent your son 2,000 years ago.
I believe you sent your son 2,000 years ago.
And that he died for my sins.
And that he died for my sins.
And he took on the penalty.
He took on the penalty.
And he took my place.
And he took my place.
I believe. That I will be saved if I call on your name.
I call on your name.
Jesus. And I accept your Holy Spirit.
I accept your Holy Spirit.
And I want to be born again.
I want to be born again.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So if you said that prayer, it's simple. You call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your place. He took your place on that cross 2,000 years ago. He died in blood for you. There is no other name by which we can be saved. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. Jesus Christ was Jewish, and he is Jewish. That's why in Israel you can go to the Via Dolorosa, where he was bleeding and crucified and unrecognizable. And he was killed without cause, you know, and he did it for our sins. And he was the final lamb that was slain. He was the final Passover lamb. If you look into the Jewish holiday, Passover, Pesach, just like we're living in a pandemic right now where we're forced to be quarantined, the Israelites were quarantined. And the Lord said in order for their people to be spared, that the blood over their doorpost, which represents life, would spare them from the death angel. And there's life in the blood. And they put the doorpost, the blood over the doorposts of their homes, but we put the blood of the doorposts of our lives, because the blood of Jesus covers us from all sins and all unrighteousness. And just like I talked to my editor yesterday, Tiffany Roney, she's an actor, she's a screenwriter, you know, she said that, you know, the blood of Jesus, it cleanses, it purifies, it redeems us. And there was no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. If you look at the temple sacrifice, that they would have to bring a clean and unblemished lamb in Israel, and to of many Jewish people. If you guys study Judeo, the Jewish faith, or even Judeo-Christian faith, you know, that was the custom, and there is no remission without the shedding of blood. And so that's why God had to send his son to die the final one, for once and for all of mankind, because he knew, as you guys all know, in the 20th century, we're not going to go out and slaughter lambs every time we sin. That's just not going to happen. And so God had to send his own son. He had to send himself in the form of the son. And, you know, everything reflects, everything is, life is, even like our, even the physical sun in the solar system, it gives life to all of creation. And it's just so powerful. Like everything literally reflects God. Everything reflects the sun, and the sun reflects the father. And even a physical son resembles his father. You can see the resemblance of a child and how they look like their father. And so it's like, you know, I always explain to people, because if they don't understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I say, well, we have three parts in our body. We have a body, a soul, and we have flesh, right? So you say body, or body, soul, and spirit. We're three in one. It's just like an egg. There's a shell, there's an egg, and there's an egg yolk. So, or egg white and a yolk. So, you know, people think, oh, that's impossible, or I can't believe that, but it is. All things are possible with God. So if you just put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no name by which you can be saved. Many people's versions of God, they make up their own religion. I believe in God. Well, which God? There's millions of gods. And, you know, the Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble. So it's not enough to believe. It says in the book of James, faith without works is dead. Once you believe and you've been set free from the bondage of sin and death, you have to share the good news. Jesus gave the commission to the disciples, and you can read that in the book of Matthew if you want to go further. But he invites us to be co-heirs and co-partners, you know, and it's so exciting to partner with the creator of the universe. And you think, how could I do that? Well, trust me, friends, I know, because I have seen miracles. I've been on the largest television network in the world. I was on Trinity Broadcasting Network for over 7 years with people who, you know, like Oral Roberts had a legacy there, and, you know, very, very powerful ministers who have been a part of that network, such as Jensen Franklin and Paul Crouch, and just people that are pioneers of the faith. And it's not me, it's God. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing, you know, and it's just like your phone. If you don't plug your phone in, your phone isn't going to have battery. We must plug into the power source, the word of God. God gave us the Dead Sea Scrolls. That was left on earth for a reason. That was written and inspired by God, and it was left on earth. It is the one book. Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the one book that will never fail you. And it's not a fairy tale. It's real. It's true. And you guys, it's a living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. And so I just encourage you. And it also part of the book, Daughter of the King, How to Find Your True Royal Purpose and Identity. It is for all ages. The book came out on August 1st as a Kindle edition. And then the second edition is a hard copy cover, which you can get on Amazon as well, Amazon Books. So you can just Google the book, or you can find me on Instagram at Christy Given. Click the link. And I'm so honored and blessed to be here today. Thank you, Richard, for having me. If anyone else wants to email me about faith or questions, I went to Bible college and I studied theology. So I wouldn't mind having a dissertation or conversation. And it's such an honor to be building Hollywood with you, Richard. I'm so blessed by you. You're awesome.
So proud of you,
keep up the great work.
You're an amazing daughter of the King.
Oh, you're amazing, a spiritual father, and you're an amazing pioneer in Hollywood, and I'm so excited for you and your film, and, you know, the best is yet to come for you, and so I just know that we're going to all help each other. Awesome.
Yes, Christy, and thank you, everybody, for listening. The Daughter of the King is by Christy Given, and we'll take the last 30 seconds of the show out with her amazing music.